I'm going to go to the Old Testament tonight in the book of Leviticus. I don't know about you, but just in reading the Bible, Leviticus is one of those books that it's kind of hard, and there's a lot in it that's it's slow reading. It's slow. It's difficult sometimes, but there's some wonderful nuggets of truth that are here in God's Word. Amen. All of it is inspired of God. All of it has a message that's relevant to you and me today. Amen. So let's look to Leviticus chapter 6, verse 9. And we'll just read a few verses here. In Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 9. We'll back up to verse 8. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. The priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Praise God. Amen. I just want to give you a little illustration here I always go back and draw from my childhood and my growing up years. I was raised pretty much as a city boy. I was not raised in the country. Where I was raised on the west side of Tulsa, Oklahoma, the elementary school that I went to was one block away in one direction. The church that I went to was one block away in another direction. And then in another direction, one block away, were businesses like a grocery store, a drug store, and I mean, all in a little area that I grew up in. That was my home area. And the house that I was raised in since I was 4 years old, my mom and dad bought that house when I was 4 years old. So now my brother owns the house that was my mom and dad's house all those many years. But the house that I was raised in was heated by a gas floor furnace. Anybody ever been in a house where there was a floor furnace? Well, it was the only heat in the house. And when you came in from outside, and if you come in from the cold, everybody would want to gather around the floor furnace and stand on top of it or stand around it, because that's how you got warm in my house. Later on, my dad put central heating and air conditioning in the house, and so the house was warmer. But that was my experience growing up. So I did not grow up building fires like some of you all did. That was not my experience at all. I didn't build fires. As a matter of fact, my only experience was when I would go to my cousin's house to spend the night. He was my exact same age, just a few months. And so we were pals, and I would spend the night sometimes at his house. And they lived outside of the city in the farm, in the country, or as Zach used to say when he was little, that he wanted to live in the crunchies. That's what he called it. He wanted to live out in the crunchies. Well, I didn't live in the crunchies, but my uncle had 360 acres outside of town, and he had a farm. I mean, it was a kid's paradise. Cows and ponds to fish in and to swim in and a barn to play in, and it was just wonderful. At least to visit there. But one thing about that farmhouse that they lived in was the only heat in it was in the middle of that house was a wood-burning stove. And I can remember staying there when it was wintertime and the house was cold, and my uncle would load up that stove with wood before bed, and I mean it would be rocking hot. It would be really hot, and it would get the house all warmed up, and then we'd all go to sleep, and then early in the morning, the fire would just about burn down, and I would hear my uncle get up out of the bed and go through the house, load it back up with wood, stoke the fire, and get it burning again so the house would warm up. That's my only experience with a wood-burning stove. I just stayed under the covers while he was stoking the fire. That was my experience as a kid. Now, in the book of Leviticus, there are several different sacrifices that are mentioned in this book of Leviticus. And of all these sacrifices, I mean, they were sacrifices that were burnt sacrifices like peace offerings and sin offerings and peace offerings and all these different sacrifices that would be brought. I think there's listed here in Leviticus something like 5 or 6 different offerings that would be brought. And each one of them, even a grain offering, all of them that would be burnt on the altars, that they would be burnt only partially, and then the priest or sometimes even the person that brought the offering would be able to partake, consume it, eat it. Or at least parts of it could be eaten. And that was all a part of the Levitical law that was allowed for them to do that. But there was one exception. And that was the offering that I just read to you about here in Leviticus 6 and 9. And that was called the burnt offering. And the burnt offering was to be burnt completely up, completely consumed. It was to be an offering that it was consumed, and the ashes and the smoke went up as an incense unto the Lord. It was a complete and a total offering to the Lord. None of it was to be consumed. It was all to be given completely to God, completely consumed, every part of that animal sacrifice was to be completely burnt up. So this burnt offering was different from some of these other offerings, like the sin offering and the peace offering and the grain offering and all these different ones that are mentioned here in the book of Leviticus. It was different because it was offered in the morning and then it was offered in the evening. And it was to be totally burnt up. So literally, it was to go up in smoke. That was the commandment of God concerning the burnt offering. And it symbolizes total commitment. It symbolizes complete everything given to God. It symbolizes giving him your all. It was to symbolize total commitment, total worship and devotion unto God. Everything belonged to God. The animal would be completely consumed, and only the smoke and the incense and the smell of it would go up as an offering unto the Lord. Nothing was to be left on the altar. Everything was to be given to God. And so this sacrifice, this burnt sacrifice, is a very, very important message to all of us. To understand that God wants your all. He wants everything. He wants all of your life. He doesn't want just your Sunday. He doesn't just want your Wednesday. He wants your every day. He wants your complete and total commitment. He wants your whole life to completely be given unto the Lord. The burnt offering was different in that it was to be offered in the morning and in the evening, symbolizing that it was to be all day long and all night long. Notice what it says here It says the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. This was a continuous flame that was to never go out. It shall never go out. It shall never go out. And so this was to be a continual sacrifice. And it really symbolizes for every one of us that our life is to be a life that's committed to God, committed to serving the Lord. Every part of our life, not just certain times or places that we kind of section off and say, this is my time of devotion or this is my time to go to church. He wants more than that. He wants your all. Amen. He wants you to give everything to him. You see this picture many places throughout the scripture, 2 Chronicles 13 and 11, and they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense that go up. So anytime that you would go to the tabernacle or to the temple, that burnt offering fire was burning. It was always available to bring the sacrifice, to lay your sacrifice there, for it to be consumed, and for the sweet smell of it to go up, and the smoke of that go up as a worship and a praise unto the Lord. The psalmist in many places mentions this. Psalm 55 and 17. Evening and morning will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. That phrase is used several times by the psalmist. Evening and morning, that I'll offer my prayer and my praise unto the Lord. Most believe that when Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, that's what he was talking about. He was talking about that burnt sacrifice that was to be all consumed, given to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it is a daily yielding yourself to God, your mind renewed by the word of God, surrendering your will through prayer and through obedience to the will of God. Every Christian is either a conformer to the world, a conformer to the philosophies and the ideas of the world, or you're being transformed daily by the renewing of your mind and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what that burnt offering is really depicting for us. It's reminding us tonight that we should never let the fire go out. You have to keep it burning all the time, morning and evening. We have to continuously be coming to the Lord. And I understand church services are important. I mean, I really believe that every Christian should be here every time you possibly can get here. I just believe it that way. And I've told the stories a lot of times about my church life, my upbringing, going to church. My mother was devout and committed to the church. We went no matter what. If company came, my mom would just announce, folks, we're glad you came by, but it's almost time for us to go to church, so we're going to church. And after a while, people got the message. We're not going to go visit their house on church time because we know they're going to the house of God. There was just that commitment that was made, and it made a big impression upon my life. And if there's ever a time when I'm sick or something happens, I can't be in the house of the Lord at church time, I feel bad about it. I feel guilty. I don't enjoy it. I'm miserable. Because I want to be where I have committed myself to be. Amen. Praise God. And I do believe that if you neglect the things of God, the house of God, if you neglect things that God has provided for us, whereby that we can keep stoking the fire. That's what ought to be happening when we come into Sunday school. It ought to happen when we come into every church service, that we see it as an opportunity to stoke that fire a little bit. We don't want the fire to burn out. We don't want to get cold in our relationship with the Lord. But if you neglect the things of God, you'll find the fire beginning to ebb. It doesn't take very long at all. It's so important to make these things as the priority of your life. And it's certainly things like the Word of God and prayer and obedience and commitment to God. All these things are just a part of our weekly, daily relationship with the Lord that ought to be helping us to stoke the fire and keep the flame burning in our life. That fire should never go out. The burnt offering was burnt in the morning and then also in the evening. It was to be continuously burning, and that's the way our walk, our relationship with the Lord should be. Amen. Busyness, and we all get caught up in the busyness, and this time of the year, it's really easy. There's a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of things to do, and many times, all those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with them, but if you're not careful, busyness will rob you of your walk with God. Busyness will rob you of your fellowship with the Lord. Busyness sometimes can cause you to lose that fire that should be burning bright in your daily walk with the Lord. Don't let the fire go out. Don't allow it to happen. And sometimes folks live from one revival to the next. And by the time the next revival gets here, the fires are just about out. It shouldn't be that way. It should be that we come to the house of the Lord. Every time we come, that we see it as an opportunity to get closer to God, to draw nearer to Him, to learn more about Him, to walk in closer commitment and fellowship to the Lord. Don't let the fire go out. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Amen. Amen. Now look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I know that you're familiar with this account. This is Samuel, who is a little child, and his mother has committed him and dedicated him to service in the temple. And when he comes of age, we don't know exactly what that age was, but we know he was still a child when he goes to serve in the temple, and his mother takes him there, and he's serving the priest Eli. And the Bible says the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. What does it mean? Well, it means that Eli the priest had become a compromiser. Eli the priest had become lazy and careless. You see, he was the priest. He was to be the go-between between all the nation of Israel. He was the priest. He was to mediate on their behalf. He was in God's stead. That was his calling. That was his ministry as the priest, to speak for God, to be in touch with God, to hear the word of the Lord. That was his responsibility. But it says that the word of the Lord was precious or scarce in those days. Whose fault was it? It was Eli's fault. He was the priest. And in the nation, the word of the Lord was precious or scarce. They should be hearing from God. That priest should have a word from the Lord. That priest should have been there for the nation of Israel, keeping the fires burning in the nation of Israel, but it says that the word of the Lord was scarce. It was precious in those days. It says there was no open vision. You see, between the priest and God, there was to be this open line of connection and communication and fellowship between the priest and God. And then he would then communicate what he had heard from God to the nation of Israel. The priest had this awesome responsibility. But instead, there's no open vision. Instead of hearing from God, he's not hearing from God. His ears have become dull to the voice of the Lord and hearing from the Lord. And God is speaking. Then it says that it came to pass that when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim. Now, this is actually physically happening to him, but it's also very much a picture of what's happening to him spiritually. His eyes are dim. He could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. And so certainly, whereas a physical lamp that was in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and that was to be maintained, and it was to be lit, and the oil replenished so that that light would be burning. But Aaron, the lamp of God, it was all very much a picture of the spiritual condition that Israel was in because of a backslidden priest and what was happening to them. Aaron, the lamp of God, was going out. The fire was burning out. The fire in Israel is burning out. And that's the condition that they were in. And he was to be in touch with God, hearing the voice of God, communicating for God. But now the nation is in darkness. The nation is in terrible darkness. But God is still speaking. And God speaks to a young boy by the name of Samuel, who knew about his responsibilities in the temple, but obviously he didn't really have a connection, a relationship with God. That's why it says in verse 7 that even though that the Lord spoke and called his name, it says Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He was a young boy who knew about God, and he knew his responsibilities to serve in the temple, but he didn't have this close connection, fellowship with God. But now it's starting. God is speaking to him. And he runs to Eli and says, thinking that he's called for him. Eli says, no, I didn't call for you. Three times this happens in the darkness of the night that he hears the voice of the Lord, thinking that it's Eli calling for him. The third time, Eli remembers. He remembers what it was like. He used to hear from God. He used to hear God's voice. And so he says, this time, if you hear that voice, then just say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. And you know this story. I know that it's a familiar story to us all. But God began to speak to that young boy, Samuel, about Israel. Began to speak to them about the judgment that was going to come upon Israel. Verse 13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. God is dealing with Eli. He knew better than what he was allowing to happen, but he was doing it anyway. I'm going to judge him for the iniquity that he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever. No sacrifices anymore. They could burn sacrifices all the time, but it wasn't going to make any difference because they were not willing to do the will of God. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. The account goes on to say that Eli calls him in and says, I know that the Lord has spoken to you. I'm paraphrasing. I know you heard. Tell me all. And even though Samuel, the young child, was fearful, he knew that he had heard from God. And he spoke and pronounced judgment on the household of Eli and all of his family, and the judgment that was to fall upon the house of Israel. So the whole account is just a reminder to us of the danger of getting in such a condition that you let the spiritual fire burn down. And to grow the embers of your fellowship and your walk with the Lord to grow cold to the place that you begin to lose the fire and the zeal and the desire for the things of God. The burnt sacrifice was symbolizing complete dedication. Everything on that altar, even the ashes and how that they were to be distributed, was to be carefully followed by the plan and the will of God. Every part of that sacrifice belonged to the Lord. And let me tell you, that's what God wants from you and me. Amen. That's what he wants from you and me. He doesn't want half-heartedness. He doesn't want carelessness. He doesn't want compromise. He doesn't want us to be indifferent. He wants us to be sensitive to his voice, in tune with the voice of the Lord, morning and evening, the fire never allowing it to go out. Stay in fellowship with the Lord. Stay in a close commitment to the Lord. Dedicate yourself, your life, and everything that you have, and give it all to Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you, things would really be transformed in your life, in my life, in the life of the church, if suddenly everybody in the church made that kind of commitment, that level of commitment. Lord, I'm yours 100%. I'm yours, Lord. You do with me and you use me however that you choose to use me, Lord. I am yours. Amen. I belong to you. Not just a little bit of religion, not just a little bit of connection or association with the things of God, but 100% sacrifice placed on that altar and completely consumed. And that brings a sweet smelling savor that goes up before the Lord when we commit ourselves to the Lord 100%. Amen. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of God, may that never be said about you or me or about this location, this church. May it be always said, there's a fire of Pentecost that's burning there. There is a move of God in that place. God, we can hear from God. We can hear the voice of the Lord. And God is still working and moving in that place. Oh God, that it would never be true that we were not hearing from God. Oh, how desperately we need to hear the voice of God. We don't need just little sermons. We don't need just, you know, just a little time around the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of the Lord. We need to hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts. And the fire burning and stoking up the fires of revival in our hearts so that God would be moving. Amen. In that time, it was God's will that the relationship with the priest, that there would be this open vision, this open line of connection with the Lord. Amen. You remember Elisha the prophet in Israel, that one of the servants came and said, he knows what's being spoken in the bedchamber. I mean, that prophet walks with God. He knows all the secrets that are going on in Israel. Amen. He is so close to God and walks in fellowship with the Lord that he knows what's happening and he knows what's going on in the lives of the people of Israel. Amen. Could we just imagine how wonderful it would be if we walked that close to the Lord, that we could hear his voice and know his will and walk in the favor and the blessing of the Lord. May the fire of God be ignited in all of our hearts. Amen. Amen. So now, this is just between you and the Lord, but I want to ask you to be honest. What about it? What about the spiritual fires in your own heart? Where do you stand tonight with the Lord? Have you allowed a lot of distractions to hinder you? Are you not interested in the things of God? Is it just a duty to come to church? Do you just go through the motions of, you know, the Bible and prayer and all those things? Is it just routine to you, or is there something that's real and alive and on fire in your heart? Oh, there can be. There can be. And do you know that even tonight God could ignite the fires and stoke the fires of your own walk and your relationship with the Lord right here in this service before we leave, right here during this Christmas season? There's nothing wrong with us recognizing how desperately we need the fire of God burning in our hearts. Hallelujah. That's what Leviticus says. It says that that fire shall never go out. Amen. It shall never go out. It's to burn until that sacrifice is completely consumed. Are you willing to put yourself on the altar and say, Lord, I'm yours 100%. I'm not going to withhold anything, Lord. I am yours. I belong to you, Lord. Amen. Are you willing to make that kind of a commitment, that kind of a sacrifice? Lord, may the fires be renewed in our hearts here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Could we just take some time around these altars tonight, individually? This is personally between you and the Lord. Be honest before God. Lord, I've let the fire get dim. I've allowed the fires of your Holy Spirit to burn down. And do you know that you can make a difference tonight toward stoking that fire? When you come before the Lord with honesty, sincerity, Lord, I want what I've had in the past. I want that closeness and that fellowship that I've had with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'd just like to ask that everybody would come. And if you would tonight, if you'd be willing to do this, sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with kneeling at the altar and, you know, crying out to the Lord, kneeled at the altar. But sometimes what we do is we just kind of bury our head. And I'd like to just ask that everybody that would to come and just stand for a little while here around the front of this building and ask the Lord.